This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Out the step, wide open three, Bolonites, as Guy Santos might say. Bonsoir, as Jonathan Kuminga might say. Or in the words of Stephen Curry, night, night.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. He threatened to do it.
He kind of did it.
And then he shrugged it off.
Did the coach prompt him to do it?
Well, let's find out.
Let's.
The coach is here. Willard and Dibbs, glad you're with us, and it is that time. Out to the River Islands guest line we go. Time for Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Hi, Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. Yeah, did you have some sort of an interaction there with Steph, encouraging him to do the night-night that he didn't do?
Well, after the next play, I think I looked over at him and I said, "You can do it now." And he just laughed. So, yeah, that was a fun, great night. I mean, obviously, the Garden. There's nothing like the Garden, and really good second half for us. That was a fun win. So we were all enjoying ourselves for sure.
Yeah, how much of that is the Garden? I mean, obviously, it's a big game. It's a good team. We get all that, but the interactions with Spike Lee that are still happening. Does the Garden still have its, its je ne sais quoi, if you will?
Yes. To me, it's the best atmosphere in the league for the reasons you just mentioned, just the history there and Spike on the sidelines and something about the lighting in there. I mean, you're just aware of the history and being in New York is special. So it's I think everybody was pretty fired up for the game, even on a back-to-back, getting in super late the night before. Everybody was ready to go last night. You could see it.
And also fired up to take on one of the best in the East. And, things were a little choppy in the first half, and it felt like you came out in the third quarter and started to get the game in your favor. How much confidence does that give a team that's already super confident, knowing that you can beat a really good team like New York?
Yeah, I mean, we've been building our confidence here in the last couple of weeks, but I thought the second half performance was the first time we really have put it together and looked like the team that we think we can be. And I think a lot of that is just kind of figuring out how to play through Jimmy a little bit and try to find the right combinations, the right rhythm to the game. And even though that first half was choppy, I liked our play. I mean, we were taking care of the ball. Our intentions were great. We just weren't really making shots. And then second half, the game opened up once we knocked a few down, and that seemed to give us even more confidence.
Coach Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Before we go too much deeper into the game and all the situations for the team right now, you just mentioned that you guys all love being in New York. I know you. I'm sure you guys got together and practiced today, but what about all the other hours? What are you doing with a day in New York?
We had the day off today. After the back to back, and so I am heading to dinner with my wife. We're going to go see a show tonight. It's a New York night. You got to do something fun. So we always love coming here. My wife is actually from here, and so it's a special trip every time we come to New York every season.
Italian steak.
What
Italian?
Italian.
I felt it. I felt it was. And then what show are you seeing?
Exactly.
We're seeing a show called Oh Mary, which is on Broadway, and it's our son saw it. He told us it was hysterical, and so that was the one we picked, and we're excited. Good night.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better city to have an off night. And I was joking with Mark before about maybe a hungover effort against Brooklyn tomorrow, but I'm imagining that, you know, with that many adults in your locker room, they're going to be buttoned up, especially 10-2, Steve, since you got Jimmy. And I know only one of those losses is when he played. Are you starting to feel some of the vibes of some of your great teams where you take the floor and you get that feeling like it's almost going to be impossible for you to lose?
Well, I think we're not there yet, but there is a great vibe in the locker room and a lot of confidence, you know, in on the floor. You can just feel it. There's a maturity to our approach that I think Jimmy has helped bring out of our team, just in terms of taking care of the ball, making every possession count. He seems to make everyone around him better. I think Moses and BP, it's not a coincidence that they're playing their best basketball of the season since Jimmy came back. And I think Draymond's been fantastic. And I think he's got a lot more confidence now in, you know, just having Jimmy next to him and the momentum of the group that we have right now. It's you can see it in Draymond's eyes that he's believing, and that matters.
Steve, you always give honest answers. Honest answer here. Did even you think it wasn't going to work this well this fast?
I didn't know what to expect other than I knew we were getting a great player in Jimmy Butler. And I hoped that he would do what he's doing, but I wasn't sure. You're never sure until you actually see it and feel it. And I think the biggest thing, honestly, is he's a perfect fit next to Steph and Dre. He really is excited about being here. We're excited to have him. So the circumstances were just right for all parties involved. So it just feels right, and we're capitalizing, and we're playing at a high level. But we also know that, you know, we got a lot more work ahead.
Yeah, I mean, 20 games left to go in the regular season, and you had said before to us and openly that the sixth seed was the goal, and now here you are, the sixth seed. Are you starting to recalibrate a little bit on what you think you can be here in the regular season?
I think we can move up further now. I mean, given what's transpired the last couple of weeks, we've made a pretty quick rise up the standings. We're only a few games behind Houston. You know, we have the tiebreaker over them. I think we play them one more time. I don't think that spot is out of the question. You know, I think you start looking too far ahead, and you get out of sorts. And so the only thing we're focused on is just winning the next game. But of course, we looked at the standings, you know, every day, and we look at, the scores every night, and we're trying to climb as high as we can for sure.
Steve, you've used the word confidence a couple of times in this conversation, and it's bringing to mind what you had said a few times earlier this year about the crisis of confidence that you guys were experiencing. Can you kind of detail the journey of how the team got out of that?
Well, it was. There was a lot going on. I think, you know, the injuries definitely hurt us. There was a stretch there, with Draymond out, with BP out. I think the biggest thing for me as a coach, just looking at the whole season, is that when we were 12 deep, early in the season, there was a real benefit to us. And we were playing everybody and overwhelming teams, you know, in depth and defensive pressure. And then, you know, the injury to Melton, to me, changed everything. It changed our rotations and the vibe. And then we started getting some injuries. We just lost our momentum. And I think Mike sensed it. I've said a few times, you know, the fact that, you know, Mike knew we were kind of dead in the water and we needed to make a move. He made the move at the right time. And so solidified the roster, solidified the rotation, and now here we are.
You mentioned injuries derailing you earlier, and Melton, of course, and the rest of it. And GP2, I guess, is listed as probable for tomorrow, but Kuminga will be out. Where are we with Jonathan Kuminga? Was there a setback, or is this still kind of a slow build toward his eventual return?
It's a slow build. I'm going to warn you here. I'm about to get out in the streets of New York. It's about to get loud, so we'll do our best.
I love it. Do your thing, all Steve. Right. I mean, you're trying to make us jealous, and yes, we're feeling jealous right now.
We love ambient noise. Yeah, this is good.
That sound in the business, yeah.
Can you hear the rain? That's the question.
Now I want to know how much you just tipped that guy.
I don't reveal everything.
Okay. All right.
Man,
fair enough.
I would imagine it's more on the side of generosity. I can't think that Steve's going to short the guy. I mean, this is Steve Kerr, ladies and gentlemen. JK, a setback or just a slow build, Steve, as the natural sound of New York brings us all back in?
No setback. It's just the injury itself was, I think, more serious than anybody realized, you know, and some of these things you just can't predict. I mean, that's one of the things I've learned, during my time as coach, working with Rick and the performance staff. There's no exact recipe for these injuries, and everybody heals differently. And I think as it's turned out, JK's injury was probably, more of a setback than we realized in the beginning. And he's working hard. He's working every day. Had a really good workout today. And it does feel like he's getting close, but, you just got to do the right thing, and that's what we're all trying to do.
Those reports are out there that at least in the back of your minds, maybe Saturday against Detroit. Is there anything you can share on that?
I can't. That would just be speculation on my part right now.
Yeah, no, fair enough. And then what about the other injury situation on the team? How's GP2 doing?
He's doing well. You know, he had a fracture from the collision, and I think he's getting fitted for a mask. I believe we listed him as probable for tomorrow, so that'll be great to get him back. He's been playing really, really well.
No doubt, and just so many intangibilities that he brings to the team. I wonder always about this, Steve, a team on a long road trip. It'll be game 5 of a 5-game trip. What can you do as a coach, and what can the veterans do to try to avoid that last game of a road trip letdown?
Well, I don't think we qualify for that team right now, given where we are. We would qualify for that if we were, rolling along. If this were 6-7 years ago, I would definitely be concerned about a letdown in a game like this. But where we are, 20 games left, last game of the trip, a lot of tough games coming up. In sixth, but only a couple games out of 10th, we're not in a position to let our guard down, and our guys know that. So we'll be ready to roll.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibs, as he is every week, and cruising the streets of New York. And I wonder, Steve, you probably get asked this every time you go there. Maybe not. Like, when you're there, do you still each time have that moment and look around at MSG and think about what could have been if you'd made a different decision years ago?
No, I don't spend one second on that topic, largely because I already know the answer. I would have been fired within 2 years, and I'd be doing television right now.
You were pretty good on TV. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to sell that part of it short, but just in the moment as you were trying to decide between Golden State and New York, what was ultimately the thing that swung you toward the Warriors?
Well, I said this a while back, but there were two main factors. Steph Curry was on the Warriors, and then my daughter was a sophomore at Berkeley at the time. But as I told my daughter, the decision came down to about 95% of that was Steph and 5% was my daughter.
Yeah, and you never want to pick between your children, but yeah.
No. She was really pleased with that answer, by the way. She just rolled her eyes, and she's like, I'm used to your dad jokes. So anyway.
Well, yeah, usually when kids go away to college, they don't want their parents following them there.
Well, that was her joke. She said, I thought I was getting away from you, and then you and Mom follow us. What's that all about?
So. Yeah, and I've never seen your daughter shoot, but I would imagine that Steph's probably a better shooter.
A little bit.
Yeah, one thing
better.
We were talking about before the show is the idea about you know, what Shaq said last night, you probably didn't hear it because you were coaching the game, but Shaq is saying Steph needs to be in the GOAT conversation, the greatest of all time. Mark, do you have the sound to play for him?
Steve, did you actually hear it? Did you hear what Shaq said?
No.
Yeah, here. No. I know you're out on the streets, but if you can hear it, this is it.
As the supreme leader of the Big Man Alliance, I demand you fans to start putting Steph Curry in that greatest of all time conversation. I demand it.
Why does the Big Man Alliance need to say something?
Because I am the supreme leader and my voice counts. And I'm saying, listen, I played against Mike, played with Kobe, played against and with LeBron. They're all great. But at some point, we're going to have to put Steph Curry in that category. I'm not saying he is, but let's just have the conversation. Like, I like all the internet talk and the barbershop talk, but I ain't never seen nothing like that before, and nobody has.
That's on TNT. What do you think of that, Steve?
I think he's dead on because Steph is the most unique superstar of all time. He broke barriers. He changed the game. And what he does, really to this day, is unique to himself. And I just can't even imagine anybody doing the stuff he does. But it's different. The way he impacts the game is different. And so when you have these conversations about who's the greatest ever, you automatically go to these genetic marvels, LeBron and Michael Jordan and, Will Chamberlain, whoever else. Steph doesn't fit that normal mold. So I love that Shaq is bringing that up because from a skill standpoint, it's not even close. He is the greatest ever from a skill standpoint. These arguments are always fun and you can't reach any conclusion because it's all just art, not science. But I like what Shaq said. I agree with him.
Well, and Steve, I wonder to what level you feel kind of resurgence of energy around the league. It feels like the first half of the season, people are yelling about TV ratings and load management again. And then LeBron and Steph both are on teams that make huge acquisitions and go on big winning streaks. And suddenly everything feels different. To what level are you guys experiencing that?
Well, I mean, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to that. We're so wrapped up in our own season. I do still feel like LeBron and Steph are kind of the faces of the league, and they drive so much of the interest and the intrigue. And, the fact that the Lakers were able to trade for Luka and we were able to trade for Jimmy, it definitely changed the vibe around the league. And it changed the vibe in our locker room, and I'm sure the Lakers too. So, it feels good for the league. The interest and the fact that these two guys who are still going strong are still carrying the flag for the league, and obviously when they're playing on good teams, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's exciting for us certainly here on the flagship and all the Warrior fans, and we can't help but think about Steph turning 37 here in about a week or so, and maybe that elongates his career. Have you thought about your own coaching career as it pertains to Steph and his timeline and how many more years he wants to play? Are those two things intertwined at all?
Oh, probably. I think every coaching job has an expiration date. And I think it's important for, all parties involved to be aware of that. And so there's probably something to that, but I don't spend much time thinking about that. I love what I do. I love this team. I love coaching these guys every day, and I'm just going to keep plugging away with them and see what we can accomplish, and then we'll worry about all that stuff later.
Speaking of Steph's birthday, and Draymond obviously had one last night, do y'all get each other birthday gifts?
No.
No.
No. I asked Draymond if the coaching staff could go with him to wherever his party was last night, and there was a strange silence in response. So I took it as a no.
Okay, so but there was an MSG after party for Day Day. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, there definitely was. Okay. And the guys were all excited, and Buddy Hield was loving it. Buddy is always the life of the party, and he had something planned for Dre, and I don't know what they did, but I'm sure they had fun, and I'm all for it.
Can you just elaborate on the Buddy factor? Because fans, they didn't fully sour on him during his three-month shooting spell, but it seems like he lives his life with a certain infectious joy that you guys inside the locker room absolutely love. Can you give us a little bit of a window into just how fun it is to be around Buddy Hield no matter what?
Yeah, Steph told me he's one of his favorite teammates of all time, Buddy, is that just the joy that he brings, the laughter, the upbeat nature, regardless of how things are going, whether he's making shots or missing shots, he's always in a good mood, and that stuff is crucial in a long season in the locker room. You need guys like that, and so everybody loves Buddy. He's just a wonderful, wonderful person.
All right, Steve. Well, before you go have a night in New York, we've done this before, so it won't surprise you, I don't think. But I'm bringing my my Cal Poly class to see you again at your press conference before the game on Saturday against the Pistons. Is there any question that I should tell my students? Boy, don't ask Steve that.
You know me, I'll answer anything. So I don't have anything for you. Just, you know, whatever they got, I'll have a response for them.
Well, do you want to help me play a joke on them and see, like, will sure. you just go off on one of them? Like, for no reason?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's definitely do it. Like, what kind of question is that?
Yeah, like, if one of them's like, what are you, like, is Jonathan Kuminga going to play tonight? I want to just throw a pen and be like,
wow,
that's a ridiculous, like, yeah, let's see if we can really freak them out.
I love it.
Yeah, because that won't go viral at all. Hey, Steve, how do you do your favorite hobby tonight of scoreboard watching while you're on date night? Because you got Grizzlies and Thunder, you got the Nuggets playing, you got a full slate of games. What does Steve Kerr do tonight with a date and scoreboard watching?
Well, when you've been married 35 years, I don't know. You just peek at the phone, and at this point, she doesn't care anymore. She's used to it.
Exactly. The old peek at the phone.
Exactly.
35 years in, peek at the phone.
Like, what
are you going to do about it?
Where are you going? Exactly. All right. Hey, Steve, thanks as always. Go have a night. Enjoy yourself. Thank you, and we'll see you this weekend.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Steve, thank you.
There he goes. Steve Kerr.